Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, the man that brings you this podcast live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via the capital city of Ohio, Columbus. I hope you're doing well out there. It's episode 90. Wow, 90! And my guest is going to be somebody that's been on before, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about him in a few minutes because I'd like to share a few thoughts, a few insights on what happened this past weekend. That's right, for those that don't know, in the world of professional wrestling, WrestleMania took place. And I watched it, as I always do. And, you know, I want to just give my two cents on it. I thought that overall it was an okay WrestleMania. I don't think it was great. I don't think it was awesome. However, I guess you gotta say, since it's supposed to be the Super Bowl of professional wrestling, that an okay WrestleMania is not really a good WrestleMania. I mean, it should be spectacular, right? I mean, it should be. But overall, I thought it was an okay WrestleMania. I felt that the ladder match for the Intercontinental title was really good. I thought that was entertaining. I felt that the women's match, that's right, I almost said the Divas match, but the women's match, Charlotte versus Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks, was very, very good as well. I was entertained by the fact that The Rock returned and had his mini match with Eric Rowan and had his little altercation with the Wyatt family. I was entertained by that. I think, though, this overall, like, 7-hour marathon, though, I hope it stops. I hope this is the first year for it and the last year for it, because I felt like there was a lot of miscellaneous crap that they just threw in to stretch it for 7 hours. And I don't think I'm the only one that felt that way. I felt that maybe, you know, you could have trimmed out a few different video packages and, you know, trimmed down a few stops up at the table there with Renee Young and whatnot, and it would have just been as entertaining. You know, so, I mean, if I'm going to give it a grade, I'm going to say it was a C+, maybe. You know, like I said, oh, and I totally forgot that, you know, the big thing that everyone was talking about was, of course, Shane McMahon's dive from the top of the Hell in the Cell, which, ultimately, I thought that match kind of was a letdown. But that spot was crazy. In fact, one of my friends said, here it is, the guy that's not even a real pro wrestler is the guy taking the craziest bump on the show. And that is true. That fall from the top of the cage was horrifying to watch. But nonetheless, let me get back to what I was talking about before I forgot that I didn't even mention that. And how can I remiss that? Anyways, I thought it was a C+ worthy show, but I'll tell you what was an A+. And that happened on Friday night. That was the NXT event, TakeOver Dallas. Man, what a phenomenal wrestling show. 2 hours, 5 matches. I was highly entertained. I think the only bad thing that I can say about it is I probably would have broken up the two Japanese competitors, because I think you had Nakamura and Sami Zayn, which was a phenomenal match, and then you followed up with Asuka and Bayley, and both Asuka and Nakamura have very similar movesets, so it was a little bit boring. But, I mean, overall, from the start of the show, with that tag team match, it was phenomenal. The Revival versus American Alpha to the main event, Samoa Joe and Finn Balor. Although, I do agree with the fans, let Joe bleed. Let Joe bleed. But nonetheless, NXT hits it out of the park again. I feel bad that WrestleMania couldn't reach that level, but nonetheless, you know, there's another WrestleMania in the books. Let's talk about Raw for a minute, too, because Raw had a few surprises. I mean, somewhat in an anticlimactic manner, Shane still got to run Raw. Okay, that kind of was a little bit anticlimactic, as I said. But we saw the debut of a few folks coming up from NXT. Of course, Apollo Crews, who I'm a big fan of. I think that guy is just a phenomenal athlete all the way around. And then probably the most entertaining tag team. They may not be the best wrestlers, but gosh darn it, they are entertaining. Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy showed up on Raw to cause trouble with the Dudley Boys. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see where that feud goes. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Apollo Crews as well. But definitely some new blood being injected into the WWE, especially on Monday Night Raw. So, well, there you have it. My rundown of the festivities from this past weekend in the world of pro wrestling. So, let's talk a little bit about my guest. As I mentioned, he has been on a couple of times before. As a matter of fact, I think this is his third time on the PVD cast. You know me, I love to have repeat guests, especially if they are good quality guests, and certainly this guy falls into that category. My guest for episode 90 is Mr. Brian Lau. Now, Brian Lau is the gentleman behind Staunch Ambition, which is a really interesting, really awesome science fiction fantasy graphic novel. Brian's been working on it for a couple of years. He had a preview issue out not too long ago. Well, now he has launched a Kickstarter to cover the cost of publishing issues 1, 2, and 3. In fact, issue 1 is done. He's just got to get it published and sent out there. And he's coming on to talk about the Kickstarter, to talk a little bit about the project. And you know what? I'm going to just do it right now. I'm going to get it right out of the way. You should support this. You should support this. I'll say it with a little more enthusiasm. Go over to Kickstarter.com, search the different projects, just type in Staunch Ambition. If you'd say, I don't know how to spell it, John, or whatever, go to the links page on pvdcast.com. There's a link to staunchambition.com, which is the website. And I know Brian said there's all kind of links from there, but you definitely got to check this out. Again, if you're new to the PVDcast, you have no idea what I'm talking about. You've never heard of Brian Lau or Staunch Ambition. Go back in the archives, listen to the 2 episodes he was on, and I believe they're 58 and 68, if I remember correctly. And definitely, definitely check out the artwork. It's phenomenal, and give some cash, man. There's a lot of cool perks on Kickstarter. Give what you can. Definitely it will help out Brian and his project, and you know, get behind something good. Get in on the ground level, so to speak. So, hey, while I'm talking about comic books, before we get into my conversation with Brian, let me remind you about Space. It's a small press and alternative comics expo. It's happening April 9th and 10th. It's the 17th year for this great event. And you want to talk about independent comic book and independent comic book creators, well then Space is the place to go. And it is over at the Northland Performing Arts Center in North Columbus, right off of Morris Road. It's sponsored by Back Porch Comics, and backporchcomics.com is where you can find out all the information, such as hours, how much it is to get in, who's going to be there, etc., etc. I'm going to be quite honest with you, I'm not going to be there on Saturday, but I'm definitely stopping over Sunday, so hell, if you see me, maybe say, hey John, how's it going? Love the PVD cast, or whatever you want to say to me, but I'm going to be there. You should be there. Once again, that's the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo, April 9th and 10th, over at the Northland Performing Arts Center. Backporchcomics.com is where you got to go to get all the info. And with that, let's throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, my conversation with Mr. Brian Lau. Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the PVD cast. I'm sitting down via Skype with a man that's been on this podcast several times talking about his science fiction graphic novel, Staunch Ambition. Please welcome once again Mr. Brian Lau. Brian, how you doing, man?
Hey, doing good, man. It's nice to be back on.
Yeah, I think the last time you were on, you were in Michigan, but now you're living in Michigan and working in Ohio.
Yeah, you know, the first podcast I was on, I heard you were in Ohio, so I thought, well, you know what? I must move there, so following you around.
But the thing is, yeah, the ambassador. Job. That's what you don't know. I'm the ambassador to the state of Ohio.
Ohio, yeah, I'm over in Oroville, Ohio. You've heard of that, right? No? Hello?
Kind of near Akron, correct?
It's near Akron, Canton. But I work here during the week, and then I trek back to great old Michigan on the weekends, pretty much every weekend. So,
is the state of Ohio treating you well?
Yeah, it's peaceful and beautiful. There, I mean, Ohio's huge, so there's quite a bit to see. And Oroville's a pretty simple place, but it's nice. It's you know, and I have a short drive to work, so my long drives on the weekends kind of balances out.
Gotcha. All right. Well, you have kicked off a Kickstarter for Staunch Ambition Issue 1. But before we get into talking about that, maybe let's recap for maybe some new listeners. Let's maybe give a quick synopsis of what your project Staunch Ambition is.
Well, Staunch Ambition is a science fiction supernatural graphic novel comic book. It's not a superhero book. it's something that could take place in our future is the idea. It's not in a galaxy far, far and away. So basically the overall premise is we had the first enlightenment, and as we advance in science and technology, through science and technology, mankind enters into the thought of to the supernatural. So the overall idea of the story is dealing with the implications of mankind with this advanced technology entering into the supernatural realm. And then I have, and of course it focuses on some of the main characters, which is one of them is Azarus, which is a genetically engineered worker clone. And these clones are made with a genetically mix between animal and human DNA, and without sexual organs and a limited self-awareness, so that their primary focus would be to work and they wouldn't colonize or whatnot. And Azarus is one of my main characters who has that classic sci-fi issue where he starts to become a little more self-aware. And instead of dealing with this idea between artificial intelligence and human, which you see in sci-fi a lot, I'm dealing with that, but I'm also dealing with the concept of being he's part animal and human. He's questioning, am I human? Am I animal? What does it mean to be human or animal? No sexual organs, questions like, am I male, female? What does it mean to be male, female? These kinds of things are some of the sub ideas I'll be dealing with as well. So.
And you also mentioned, too, that there's a little bit of a mystery involved, too, because of the staunch ambition taking off in space. And there's a little bit of, a question is who's pulling the strings? Should we say it that way, maybe?
Right. So, yeah, you have the title is called Staunch Ambition. And in the story, we have a company called Staunch Industries. And that Staunch Industries built the Ambition, which is this amazing space station that I think is better to see in the story, the context of the space station and its purpose. I have a nice double page spread in issue one that kind of gives that kind of a context reveal. And it kind of deals with this idea of what's going on and what is the secret behind Staunch Industries' success.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
So let's talk a little bit about some of your influences to creating this particular book. Because I know that you mentioned before that Douglas Adams was a big influence on you. But who else influenced you in terms of creating this particular tale?
Oh, well, I tell you, we got there's so much to choose from. I mean, Ridley Scott, obviously, and Blade Runner kind of movies or The Thing are some of my big influences. Obviously Star Wars, whatnot growing up. Another one, is Orson Scott Card. Are you familiar with Orson Scott Card?
Yes, of course. Ender's Game and that, series of books that he created.
Right. And so I haven't read all of his books, but I've read several of them, and Ender's Game is a great book, but I think I liked Ender's Shadow better. Did you read Ender's Shadow?
I did not. I am only familiar with, Ender's Game. Which, it's a very challenging book to read, I think.
Does it really?
I think so. I think so in terms of, and I'm looking at it from a teacher standpoint, because that was a book that at one particular point in my teaching career that I taught. And students have a very hard time grasping the concept of the fact that with, not to reveal to the listeners, if you haven't listened to or if you haven't read that, I don't want to ruin it for you, but there's the idea of the hegemony, the people that are pulling the strings, and a lot of eighth graders at the time had a hard problem understanding this. You know, this idea of how they manipulate the things that go on to achieve the results that they want. So I don't want to spoil it for anybody that's listening, but
it does have one of those endings that is crucial and why I think the book is a success, because if you don't have that good ending, it does. And then Ender's Shadow actually deals with the same time period of that original story, but from the perspective of another character being who is actually I find to be more interesting of a character. You know, he's amazing. It talks about his childhood, and he's kind of a freak, you should say, or kind of a engineered type of character. So, yeah, his story is fascinating. He grows up in the slums as a orphan child that escapes from this like scientific kind of lab. And it's quite a different book, but I thought that one was quite more. It was actually very compelling. Mm-hmm. So then G.K. Chesterton to Tolkien to C.S. Lewis to Umberto Eco. I don't know. There's so many different people to consider. I mean, a lot of comic art. It's hard to consider all this all on the spot, but I love sci-fi. Battlestar Galactica. The recent series. Did you watch any of that?
I watched bits and pieces of it. Yeah.
Hook, line, and sinker, man.
Huh?
No? What? Hook, line, and sinker.
I didn't get into it. Not because I didn't like it or it was bad. I don't know. I just didn't pick up on it when everybody else was on the craze of it, man. You know, I don't. Yeah. Sometimes I'm that way with TV shows. Especially nowadays, right, when you have streaming and you have video on demand, man, you know, sometimes, hey, just see it when you want to see it.
Right, for sure. And I mean, there's no excuses need to be made, obviously, for any TV show, because I mean, if you look at TV shows, there's like how many TV shows out that are like quality better than movies? And so it's like, I can't keep up. There's no way to keep up. But Battlestar Galactica's retelling was actually, I was into that and I really enjoyed that. So the quality of the production, I think, you know, it's up there with some of the, some people's lists as one of the top, you know, 20 TV shows of all time or 100, depending on my person. But I love great quality production. I'll tell you that. So.
And you know what? One of the things we talked about was that the preview issue came out a while ago. What, about 6 or 7 months ago, if I remember correctly?
And yeah, at least.
Yeah. And I think that one of the things we talked about off air is the overall quality of the book. And let's talk about some of the talented artists you got to work with. Of course, Tyler Thall being the main man, if you will, behind Staunch Ambition. So talk a little bit about some of the great artists that have helped you out with this book.
Well, yeah, it started with the main artist, Tyler Thall, and Tyler Thall is a concept artist, and he's working with Sony PlayStation games right now, and I guess I can't even talk about what he's working on. Like, I literally, on my Kickstarter, if you look, you know, I kind of talk about he's working with Sony PlayStation as a concept artist, but it's got to be in. I had to go back and forth with him, you know, okay, what can I say and how can I say it? I mean, so... And he's also working under the guy who created Darth Maul for Star Wars. I don't know. I forget the guy's name. But because Tyler's passion is in the gaming industry and being a concept artist, you know, and obviously movies and stuff. So Tyler Thall did all the interiors, and him and I worked extremely hard working on this. He wanted to do a graphic novel, which is a different beast than doing just, you know, concept art. You know, doing sequential art is a whole different technique. So, and then from there, I started to accumulate other artists to try to bring attention to the book. So I got Freddie Williams doing the cover for issue number one. Beautiful. If anyone's familiar with Arthur Adams or Barry Windsor Smith, it's very... It's on the cusp of those kinds of styles. I mean, just intricate, beautiful detail. And then I put color to that. And then I have Erwin Arosa, who is doing also helping out. Instead of the original approach with Tyler was to do everything from scratch as far as layouts to final paints. Well, that was quite a bit of work. So I brought aboard Erwin Arosa, who is an amazing artist, and so he's doing a lot of the concept art, or I'm sorry, the layouts now, the pencils, and then we're painting on top of those. So that alleviates a lot of the work for the someone putting full paints out. Erwin Arosa is amazing. And then I have Koi Pham, who did a cover for the preview issue, which you've seen. Mm-hmm. He's going to do, I just have breaking news, he's going to be doing an original sketch for me for one of my rewards for the Kickstarter.
Oh,
so
cool.
I message, you know, I'm trying to get support, and, you know, having these guys who are in the industry it helps us little independent kind of guys here. So he's going to do an original sketch, and so I'll be posting up a reward for that. And that's a one-time reward, so first come, first serve on that one.
That's cool. That's cool. You know, one of the things you mentioned, though, about Tyler's art, you mentioned, and I kind of forgot about this, that he's more of a concept artist, and I think you can see that. If you folks at home get an opportunity, and we're going to talk a lot about your website, staunchambition.com, and, of course, the Kickstarter, if you take a look at some of the things that Tyler has done, there seems to be a little bit of that concept art, that background. It kind of bleeds into his work on the book.
Oh, yeah. He's, and obviously every artist influences a story. So you come up, you offer up this, scripted work. And then he realizes the visual. He realizes, like, him and I working on just a space station. Oh, the ambition. Mm-hmm. Staunch Industries built the space station, the ambition. And I had certain parameters that space station need to meet for functionality, design and function. I'm not just trying to make a cool-looking space station, but I'm trying to do a space station that fits in the parameters of functioning for the purposes of this story. And so his input on it was like huge influential. And so on the variant cover of the Kickstarter exclusive, we have the space station. One of the pages from the book, we have the space station. Tyler's input is, it's very like movie, as you can see in some of his work, it's like very movie or gaming industry quality. So it's quite different. That's why I try to say it's not superheroish. It's not your traditional comic book look. Mm-hmm. It's more of a sci-fi, movie look or game. So,
yeah, it does have a lot of depth to it. It has a lot of depth to it, and it does look very much like something that you would see cinematically. So, well, you've been around to a couple cons too, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You've been up to the Great Lakes, correct, most recently?
Great Lakes Con, which I know you were jealous you wanted to come up there, man.
Only because I would love to meet Larry Hama. You don't even understand my love of G.I. Joe, how I would just completely geek out over him.
I know, and they had an exclusive comic for that, and a G.I. Joe, cover that was like a pun off of the Spider-Man, so that was cool.
Oh, man. So how was the experience up there?
Oh, it was good. Great Lakes actually was at my college that I went to. I went to college for graphic and commercial arts, so
okay.
Great Lakes was at the college, so that was quite a reunion or a visit. I've been at C2E2 Chicago Con. I've been at Motor City. I'll be at Motor City coming up. I'll probably be at Extravacon. I'm working on that right now. So my concern was just to come out independent with a story and this book. I didn't want to come out just cold. So I was like, okay, I came up with the idea to come up with this preview issue and start hitting conventions and whatnot. So build an audience.
How's it been received by the audience?
It's encouraging. Just today I called somebody. I'm learning as I go, man. It's crazy. If you do anything where you put your neck out on a line or something this involved. So eventually, as I started doing these conventions, I started getting people's emails so I can keep in touch, because I'm not with a publisher, so I can send them an email. Hey, first issue's out. You got the preview issue. I just called a guy today because he doesn't have a computer, I guess. But I called him and I'm like, hey, you bought my preview issue. I got my Kickstarter out for issue one, and he's like, Dwayne, he's like, oh yeah. I go, how'd you like the preview? She's like, oh, I loved it. And he's like, I can't wait. You're going to be at, the Extravacon. And I'm like, you know what? I should look into that. So when I hear that kind of feedback, it's kind of humbling, but at the same time, it's like gratifying, because it's kind of like most of the time you're isolated, just working, and you don't have that perspective,
Yeah, most definitely. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Kickstarter. I'm looking at it here off to the side, and you started it, a couple days ago? About 7 days ago, correct?
Yeah, I think around, it's about the first week of it, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, because there's 23 days left to go, and so far, would you say you're feeling pretty confident about it?
Well, I feel positive.
Okay.
It's, It's not funded, so like, yeah, it could be, you know, I'm on track as far as all the research I did. You know, in your first week, you want to be 20% to 30% funded, okay. And then your percentage of you know, success goes up. But I tell you what, man, it's scary, because until you get funded, and mm-hmm. a lot of people look at it, and you know, marketing is all psychology, man. It's like, oh, there's 25 days left, you know, I'll get to it, or mm-hmm. so I'm off to a good start. I'll tell you what, I can't complain. But until the fat lady sings, you know, I'm not going to count my chickens, right? I think, is that the saying?
That's the saying. Well, right. You know what?
Until the fat lady sings, you don't count your chickens until she's cooking.
Sat on them or something.
No. Oh, I missed it up. You got it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let's just be 100% honest. You know, what is the goal in terms of what you, what's the goal and what will that money go to? Yeah, let's just be honest for folks that are listening that may not be able to check out Kickstarter right now. What, just talk a little bit about what is the goal, what is the proceeds going to?
My goal is to get rich and retire and buy a yacht. No, the goal. I have this vision. I have this story that pushed me to the point to go, you know what, I'm going to do it. So I put all my money up front. And did the preview issues. Issue one is pretty much done, actually done. I just have to finish lettering it, so that's on me. But now that I've started it, I need to continue it. And so this is part of it, is to continue to production costs for the rest of the story and to print issue one. So I went in and I printed issue, the preview issue, and all the marketing and website and everything involved to do this book to this point, and paying up front for the you know, con tables and whatnot. So the Kickstarter is to continue the story and to continue on issue two and three and to print issue one. So
okay, well, there you go. And you know what, that was something I totally was amiss, and I forgot to remind folks that are listening, you know, the preview issue and all of the work that you've put forth has been from your own pocket.
Yes, man. I was kicking to do this. I was kicking this story around, and I tried to do it, just collaborate with friends or just different artists. And when, you know, not putting money up front, just, hey, let's do something creative. And, you know, that's just kind of, that doesn't always stick. It can happen, but it fell apart. And so, like, for years, I kind of thought about it. And then finally, I put some money aside, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to do it. It's now or never. And a story wouldn't let me go. So I was like, all right, we're going for this. We're going to do it. Because, you know, I'd wake up in cold sweats, you know, like with ideas for this story. And I'd be like wandering the streets talking to myself about it. And so I was like, you know, I got to do this for my own sanity. But everything that I put everything up front from music. You know, I'm a big music fan, so I thought it would be cool to have a couple songs put toward it. I wanted people to know that this is like I'm serious about it. So I put so much up front into this just to make sure, okay, you can tell that I'm not just doing this out of my basement.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, and in fact, I think the fact that you have it as a, dare I say, multimedia type of project, because Elements of Cadence is the band, correct? That has,
yes,
a song that's connected to the, or multiple songs now, correct? Am I right on that?
Yeah, I got one
or multiple ones now.
Got a couple songs. I got one. I got the theme song by Jason Conley, mm-hmm, for Staunch Ambition, and Jason Conley just released his new album called Chemicals, and he's an independent musician in Michigan, a friend of mine, and I'm a big fan of his music. So he did a theme song for me. And then Elements of Cadence I met through Kickstarter as well. And they just were signed by somebody, I can't remember the name, but I saw a post on it. So they just opened for Drowning Pool. I'm sure if you're familiar with them, but
Drowning Pool. I remember.
You know their big hit, right?
Yeah, let the bodies hit the floor.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I guess, you know, they're talented, and they got a great band going there. They've done a lot of Battle the Bands, so they've gained a lot of success for that. So they did a song for me based upon my music. I had a couple melodies. I'm not a musician, but I always dreamed of these melodies becoming produced into real music. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to have that done for this book, you know. I love music, and so I think it's a good mix, you know.
Yeah. Well, should we talk a little bit about maybe some of the different perks that you get if you decide to fund this Kickstarter? And let's be honest, there's all different money levels, so to speak, that you, whatever you're comfortable giving. But if somebody was comfortable giving, can you throw out a couple of the perks, maybe? Not all of them, maybe just two or three
Yes.
that, you know, are the big
Right.
ones.
The important ones. Well, one of the most important things to consider is, you know, if you're into comics and you want to see something beautiful, you're going to love Tyler Thaw's art, but you're not going to be able to get the Kickstarter exclusive, the extra size, large 40-page Kickstarter exclusive. So I'm only offering that through this Kickstarter. And so I'm not going to be selling that at conventions or whatnot. So, and there's a limited numbered version that you can get, that it's first come, first serve. So, you know, if those get sold out, then you're going to miss out on it. But I also have the standard issue, which is 28 page for the first issue. So you can get the preview issue as you have already with the standard issue. You can get the standard issues alone. And then I also have music, and I'm also cross promoting with a friend of mine who does Iron Age comics, and his book is called Jaded, which he has offered two digital issues for my Kickstarter. So at certain tiers, you can also get two of his first issues for free, pretty much, because it's, you know, my Kickstarter's promoting my book, but then I'm throwing in his to introduce them. And we share a same artist, Jimbo Salgado, who did a cover for me. So beautiful.
Ah, yeah. So that's how you got affiliated with that gentleman.
Yeah, Iron Age Comics. And the reason that I decided to, we decided to cross collaborate, like, actually, I have his issue number 3, which you can see on Kickstarter, or I'm sorry, no, you can see on you can see on Skype, I should say. You can see in his issue, I have an advertisement for my first issue.
Nice.
So we're cross promoting in his issue 3 and on his issue 2. So yeah, because his quality is amazing, I was like, you know what, I don't want to just I don't want to have my advertisement in something that's not, that I'm not proud of. And I'm so impressed with his quality. So I'm proud to be a part of Iron Age Comics.
Where's Iron Age Comics based out of? Is that Michigan or Ohio?
He's New York.
He's New York. Okay.
Yeah. And him and I shared a booth at C2E2 this last, you know, convention. It was, you know, about a month ago or a few weeks ago. So he's a good guy. And if a great writer, and the artists he's got working on there are just, you know, as good as DC, Marvel, you know, Image, whatnot. So,
how many issues is Staunch Ambition slated to go?
Right now, it's not a set issues.
Okay.
I don't have every issue written out. You know, there's an organic process to the writing. Like, in fact, one of my influences being Battlestar Galactica, Ron Moore, who wrote that, he didn't have that all figured out either. And he contributed a lot of the success to that organic writing. And, you know, I have the ultimate story, but there's this organic, you know, flow to it that's like, okay, exactly the details to how I get there is still going to be figured out. So I'm not sure how many issues it's going to be, but I do know the end game, and I do know where this is going. So,
okay. Cool.
I'm just as excited as anybody to find out exactly how it happens. I'll tell you that.
All right. Well, I'm going to throw it back to you here for a moment, because Kickstarter, it's, you got 33 backers so far, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's perfect.
And we are a little bit short of where the goal needs to be, but we still got plenty of time, 23 days left. So what's the best way to find out about the Kickstarter? Is it just search it on Kickstarter?
Yeah, people need to get, you know, to go on to either. You can just go to Google and type in Staunch Ambition.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Facebook. I have links, obviously, on my website. I have links on my Facebook, Twitter, whatnot. So
okay.
Anything Staunch Ambition, at least check it out. I mean, if you know, John, I mean, you've had TV shows, right, that you've
yeah.
loved.
Right.
And quality TV shows that didn't make it. They didn't. They got canceled.
Sure. Like, sure.
A classic one like Serenity or Firefly, I should say. What's one that comes to your mind?
That certainly was one. One of my favorite cop shows was Homicide: Life on the Street,
which right.
was going way back. That struggled and struggled and struggled to stay on the air, and it was a good quality show. So history's chock full of them.
Yeah. So if it's like you can see that even something that is top quality can struggle, or it's just mm-hmm. it's got a fan base, because you look at Firefly, it has obviously a fan base. It's crazy, but it got canceled its first season. That's insane. But so being independent, man, it is so crucial. People need to look at the quality. If they could just go look and see, okay, is this something that is this a something that's worth supporting? Is this quality? And get on board, because obviously Kickstarter is all or nothing. So basically go into Google and type in Staunch Ambition. You'll find links on every, any page, pretty much. It's pretty easy to find. So
yeah,
and go into Kickstarter. What's that?
I was going to say, just go to staunchambition.com. First of all, that's step number one. But if you're interested in the Kickstarter, go to Kickstarter and you can search. That's how I found it, just here a few moments ago before we started recording. Just go in there and search projects and you'll find it.
Right, right. And Kickstarter, if you're not on Kickstarter, one of the things is people are kind of ignorant. Like, some people don't understand Kickstarter. I don't want to say people are ignorant. That doesn't sound
good. What do you mean that they don't understand it? Like,
well, techno geeks and all that. Everybody, I'm pretty sure, like, you and I are familiar with crowdfunding and that kind of stuff. But sure. Some people don't understand Kickstarter or don't know. So basically Kickstarter, is like, let's say eBay, but for crowdfunding. So if somebody has an invention or a book or a movie they want to do, they can put it on Kickstarter. Basically, to sign up, you simply need to put your name in there. You don't even have to put your name. You can put J. You can put one letter. And then you put your email, you create a password, and then to purchase something, you put your credit card in, just like an eBay. So, and it's a one-time purchase. It's not a membership. It's not a commitment. It's you look at the rewards, and it's a way to promote independent art, independent creativity. So,
all right, there you go. So if you don't know, then check it out, Kickstarter.com. We talked a little bit off air.
Yeah.
Because you said you're an avid listener to this podcast, and I did admit that I had not seen Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, there's been a few things that have been going on that I haven't had a chance to go, but I did this weekend. So why not, good as time as ever, talk about Batman vs. Superman. Now, you've seen it.
Yes.
So what did you think overall? Let's debate, discuss, because it's quite a controversial film, I guess you could say.
Well, I went in with knowing the reviews. The reviews on Rotten Tomatoes by the professionals was like 30-some percent. And so it's hard to know, but that definitely changes the game. When you go into a movie expecting it to be bad or with high expectations. So I went in going, okay, this is obviously getting crushed by the professionals. So I was just like, my expectations were low. And I went in, I went and saw it with my two kids and two of my kids, and I was like, I enjoyed it. I enjoy Zack Snyder as a filmmaker. Yeah, there was problems with the movie, but I tell you what, to me, it did more right than it did wrong, even though it did some things wrong, I'll tell you that. But I enjoyed it.
Okay, I'm in the same boat as you. I will say that I went in, as I try to go into every movie going, whatever you've heard, disregard,
because, sure.
Think for yourself. I think there were some problems with it. I didn't think it was great, but I didn't think it was awful either. And I think that it's getting some unfair negativity.
For sure.
People are really just nitpicking just to nitpick.
You know why? Because this is – let me give my – this is my biggest criticism. Batman versus Superman should have been awesome. Like, there's really no reason it shouldn't have been an amazing movie. And it wasn't – obviously, it wasn't amazing. It wasn't top of the line. It had issues. But I think, obviously, you got people who are really into Batman and Superman, and they go in expecting something amazing, and it's not there. And so I can see where you would be disappointed, but I went in with low expectations, so.
Yeah, I must. Well, let's talk about what did you think was the major problems or some of the major problems with the movie?
Well, the movie's called Batman vs. Superman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of had a little bit of problems with that aspect of the movie. You know what I mean? Considering it's called Batman vs. Superman, the whole reason Batman is versing or has a grudge against Superman, it's not really developed plausibly. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's there, but it's like you just got to go with it. Yeah. You know, either you go with it or you hate it. And then the whole resolve of Batman vs. Superman is funny. I mean, have you seen posts making fun of it?
I have not. I've not seen too many posts making fun of it.
There's a Civil War post, which I know you and I are both waiting for Civil War, right?
Sure, I am,
and it's
yes.
got Tony Stark, and it's got Captain America, Steve Rogers, and they're both like, they have a comedic resolve of their Civil War, and it's like, your best friend's name is Jimmy? My best friend's name is Jimmy. You know, I won't give too nice. Much away, but...
Well, hey, okay, spoiler for anybody listening that I may ruin some things. My biggest problem, I think, I could overlook the looseness of the plot. What I could not overlook was Lex Luthor.
No?
No, I just, okay. I was, to me it was like, this is Jesse Eisenberg playing Lex Luthor, but he's really playing the Joker. I didn't dig it because
I can see that.
To me, Lex Luthor is calm. He's calculating. He's powerful. He's in control. He is the stereotypical sociopath. You know, he's got screws loose, but he never shows it to you. You know what I mean? And he was a spastic and all over the place, and I just could not get my mind wrapped around that that was Lex Luthor.
I feel for you, man, because I tell you what, I was on the fence when he first started doing that, but I tell you what, he sold me. In the scene where he's in his study, I think, where he's talking to the congresswoman and there's the painting,
yeah,
I bought it. Yes, it's not Lex Luthor, but there is a theory of why Lex Luthor was not Lex Luthor. I can throw that at you if you want.
Sure, go ahead. I'm curious to know.
I'm not sure. I heard this on some other podcast. I'm a podcast junkie myself, but there was this theory that Lex Luthor was being controlled in some way, and I don't know if that's true, but maybe that theory is just there to try to kind of explain why Lex Luthor was so schizophrenic. But it sold me in so much that it was intriguing. Even though it was not Lex Luthor traditionally.
Yeah, that was what bothered me the most. I could overlook those other things, and I think a lot of people are giving a lot of flack to Ben Affleck for no reason. I think he did a pretty decent job.
Oh, dude, I'm a big Ben Affleck fan, and
I am too.
He nailed it. You're kidding me. If he didn't think he nailed it, then I don't know why. But
most of the few posts I have read, it's been very negative towards Ben Affleck, and I don't get why.
I've heard a lot of positive. I actually 90-some% of what I'm hearing has been, you know, they loved Ben Affleck.
Well, there you have it, Batman v Superman. I finally got a chance to see it.
So, yeah, overall, what do you give it?
I give it a C.
A C?
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
Teach. Okay, Teach. I didn't expect the C, you know.
I am very excited. You mentioned Civil War, Captain America Civil War. I'm very excited for that. And one that I think a lot of people are overlooking, I'm very excited for X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah, so how did you like Days of Future Past?
I liked Days of Future Past. I liked it
I
a lot.
Really liked it. I liked it. It was kind of, you know, had superheroes in it, but the story was very not your typical comic book story with the character, really character driven. So Apocalypse, I don't know, dude. I'm a geek. I have to lower my expectations, you know, because even if it gets good reviews, I still work on it because if I go in with high expectations, it affects how I enjoy it. So, but I'm hoping that's going to be smoking. I mean,
I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you name the top three in your mind greatest comic book movies ever?
Ooh, you know what? I put a little bit of thought into this talking with my friend who we're probably going to do a podcast this weekend, and we're starting one up dealing with like basically movies and art. But comic book movies. He's not a comic book fan, so he always challenges me on this issue. I'll tell you what, one of my favorites is, well, The Mask is an older comic. Well, let's go with Superman. One of the first original, the original Superman, Christopher Reeve, mm-hmm. is iconic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't hold up to today's standards, but mm-hmm. you're kidding me. I mean, that was iconic. But The Mask, are you familiar with that? That's a
With Jim Carrey and Cameron Diaz.
I think he was born to play that role. Mm-hmm. And then ones that come to mind, I'm on the deep end here, but maybe Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I'm a huge Edgar Wright fan who directed that, and I just thought it was it was very comic booky. 300 is a good one. Spider-Man 2 is really good. I loved Spider-Man when I saw it, the first one, but it just falls apart now, you know, that Power Rangers villain. Okay, those are some. What I don't know.
I'm personally myself. These are my top three, and one of them.
Oh wait, some people, I'm sorry. No. The Dark Knight.
Yes, Dark Knight is phenomenal.
That's the that might be one of the top ones.
I'm gonna go with. I think both Sin City movies were phenomenal.
Really beautiful.
Yes, they were beautifully done. Even though the second one came out 8 years later, I still think it held up very, very well. I thoroughly love Watchmen, a Zack Snyder film.
Yeah.
Again, it's my favorite graphic novel ever, and so I think they did justice to that particular tale.
Wow. Yeah.
And the third one, I'm going to throw it up there, even though it's new. I thought Deadpool was one of the greats.
Haven't seen it yet.
I just got to say, I think that it.
So good, huh?
I think it's good because it's casual fans can enjoy it. Hardcore fans will love it. I'm throwing it up there as one of them.
Pushes the envelope too, because it's not your. Oh, this is another Marvel. Marvel's cranking them out. And
yeah.
Yeah, I got to see that. I haven't even seen Ant-Man. Are you kidding me? How has that happened? But I tell you what. You know what? I like your picks because Zack Snyder, even though for the flaws he has, which I do see, he knows how to make a comic book movie, meaning that he knows how to do a movie that you can tell is from a comic book.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. Yeah, you know,
Sin City is like that too.
Yeah, and I liked his Man of Steel, which I know got sometimes slammed for being too dark, but I liked it. I thought it was good.
I enjoyed half of it a lot, and then I had some problems with half of it. But
most definitely, I think that's you're gonna have that no matter what.
How about this, man? I got a guilty pleasure. My friend bothers me about this all the time. What did you think of The Spirit? Like, the reviews on that are like 6%. I loved The Spirit. I mean, big time, but yeah, people hate it, and I'm just like, it's hokey, and but it's beautiful.
Yeah, and I'm gonna be honest. I vaguely remember watching part
Would
of it.
You fall I don't even, asleep?
No, I don't even think I finished it. I think it was on at someone's house one time. I believe I remember watching parts of it, but I never finished it. I really cannot comment on that. I cannot
I guess I'm the odd man out here.
That's fine. Guilty pleasure for me in terms of comic book movies.
How about Sucker Punch?
I'm gonna probably go with my guilty pleasure is, I'm gonna probably go with Daredevil.
Go ahead. Which one?
Daredevil, the Ben Affleck Daredevil.
The origin part of his story was great.
Yes, and then the rest of it falls apart at the end. Yeah.
I thought Bullseye was a little quirky, but I thought Bullseye was good, but then the Kingpin was just the whole scene at the end with the Kingpin was just like not climactic, but
Yeah,
I enjoyed that. I mean, it has problems though, but did you listen to the commentary on that?
I did not. Yeah,
DVD. So, I think some of the reasons for the problems are beyond the actors, I should say, at least. But yeah, you enjoy that? I'm a big Daredevil fan, so.
I did. I love the Netflix show, although I haven't started season two yet. But season one blew me away.
Season two, I think, is better. But what about Jessica Jones?
I never got to watch that yet either.
Listen, man, good. You like Daredevil season one?
Yeah.
Watch Jessica Jones. The villain in that is better. That is one of the best Marvel villains I've ever seen on screen. But
Absolutely.
the villain doesn't even come into like I think episode 4. But and it's all this buildup, and I was starting to think to myself, what the heck, man? They keep building this villain up and it doesn't show up, and then when it's like the payoff is there. It's amazing. It's not a comic booky, just a straight up comic book movie, man. It's edgy.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've heard that it is incredibly edgy and that it is a slow build, which I don't mind. I don't mind a slow build.
Once it gets like, it builds, it respects the audience and the characters and gets you into the characters, and then all of a sudden this villain comes in and you're like, dude, his power set and the way that he utilizes it is creepy.
Awesome. I look
Yeah,
forward to it.
yeah, yeah.
All right, well, let's recap real quick. Folks, go out, plunk down some money. Help a guy out, help a creator out. Staunch Ambition, it's over on Kickstarter. You can search through the projects there, or as Brian said, just go to Google and put in Staunch Ambition. Staunchambition.com. If you don't know how to spell it, well, look at my website over on the links page. You can just click right there and go right to it. You want to talk about any other like social media or anything else where folks can get in touch with you?
Well, let me just say, man, I mean, doing a Kickstarter and being an independent artist, it's crucial that people at least go there and check out the quality, and you can be a crucial part of the creation of this. Don't let it get canceled. I mean, this is I got some great talent working with me on this, and so I can brag about it without, I'm not pointing a finger at me. I'm pointing a finger at the great talent I got working with me. And if you enjoy good creative art, then at least check it out and be a part of it. Don't miss out on this Kickstarter exclusive. I knew Kickstarter was going to be a challenge, so I thought I'm going to put together an exclusive that people can only get through Kickstarter. So everything I can do to get the word out and the support I can get, you can be on board with this and be a part of our team, because we're working very hard on this. So go to staunchambition.com, go to Staunch Ambition on Facebook, Twitter, get Staunch Ambition tattooed on your back, your forehead. I mean, tell everybody, brand Staunch, speaking of Batman versus Superman, maybe start branding people on their chest with Staunch
Well, no,
Ambition.
wait a minute now. I don't know if
No,
we want to start
let's do
felonies
that.
now. Wait a minute. If
You're
people are
not on
committing
board with
felonies,
this?
I don't know.
Let's
I don't
do
know
it.
if I'll...
Let's have a live video broadcast of us branding somebody, Staunch Ambition. Let's try that. You think?
NSA, that
do you
is a
want to be the
joke.
first victim?
Yeah. NSA, that is a joke if you're listening.
Oh,
You're
okay,
not being
sorry.
serious.
Yeah. That was another problem with that movie, I guess, but we'll just let that go.
Okay, we'll let that go. But yeah, seriously, folks, think of it as getting in on the ground level. If something good, something that's creative, something that's awesome, definitely, as Brian said, check it out. And if you got a few bucks, man, plunk it down for the Kickstarter. Definitely. Well,
Awesome.
Brian, with that, we're gonna start wrapping things up here. So, is there anything else you want to throw out there real quick? Any other comments or parting words?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, dude, it was awesome to talk to you again, and I look forward to more episodes, and thanks for your support too, man. I mean, you're doing this, you're in this with us as an independent creator, so I appreciate it. I'm a podcast junkie, and I love what you do.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Well, with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I will be back to wrap up this episode. So, if you will, please stick around. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Brian Lyle, talking about his project, Staunch Ambition. Also talking about the Kickstarter, so you definitely want to check that out. Help somebody out. Again, think of this, your opportunity to play a role in something that could be very big. And trust me, if you check out the artwork, this is going to be big. So you want to get in on it, man. Get in on it. So definitely go over to staunchambition.com, where you can get all the information about the Kickstarter, about Twitter, about Facebook. You can get it all right there. And if you say, I don't know how to spell that, just go over to the links page right here on pvdcast.com, and you can click right there. There's a link. It'll take you right to it. And, you know, help Brian out, because he's a guy that really, really admires independent ideas, independent creations, and I think, you know, that's why we get along so well. And I'm glad to have him on for a third time. And again, I can't say it enough. Check out staunchambition.com. All right, before I get into wrapping up this episode, let's talk about a couple of wrestling shows you need to know about. The first one being April 16th, OCW Ohio Championship Wrestling returns to action. 7 o'clock on that Saturday in Coshocton at the Hopewell School. It is Big Guns Jeff Cannon's farewell show. And, you know, I am very partial to Jeff. I've said it many times on this podcast. If it wasn't for him, I probably would not be doing this. And he's given back to the genre of professional wrestling here in Ohio in so many different ways that it's going to be a great show. It's going to be a great time. You need to come on out. If you want to know about ticket prices or where you can get tickets or matches or anything, check out ocwrestling.net for all of that information. And I also want to mention, of course, April 29th in Lakewood, Ohio, Old Wrestling returns to action with the Speakeasy Spectacular. It's going to take place at May Hall's 20 Lanes right there in Lakewood. 7 o'clock is when things kick off, and you can check out all the information for that show at oldwrestling.com. That's O-L-D-E wrestling.com. Well, since we're talking about wrestling, I'm just going to tip my hand and let you know that's what we're going to discuss here in Orlando's Fade. All right. It's time for me to tell you about something that is cool, something you should check out, something that I want to tell you about, and it is pro wrestling related because you know me, I'm a huge wrestling geek. I recently picked it up and I'm halfway through it. It's a great read. It's a book. ECW Press's Is Wrestling Fixed? I Didn't Know It Was Broken. Of course, it's written by Bill Apter, the man behind all of those quote-unquote Apter mags. Inside Wrestling, The Wrestler, Pro Wrestling Illustrated. I have a ton of those in my garage in a box. I was a kid that grew up in the 80s reading those Apter mags, and so many of these great stories that Bill Apter shares in this book is really worth a read. I mean, from you know, run-ins with some of the biggest stars in professional wrestling to how the magazine operated, every story is very, very well done and interesting as all get out. Definitely check it out if you haven't already. Like I said, I'm halfway through it and I can't put it down. So definitely check out Is Wrestling Fixed? I Didn't Know It Was Broken by Bill Apter. I don't think, especially if you're a wrestling fan, I don't think you will be disappointed. So with that, let's talk about some places where you can get in touch with me. You can shoot me an email anytime you like. Simply just send it over to johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can follow me on Twitter at PVDMVP. You can also follow me on Instagram under that same username of PVDMVP. And, of course, check out PVDcast.com and let somebody know about this podcast, however you wish to do it. If you wish to, you know, word of mouth, just tell them or write them a post-it note saying check it out or tweet or Facebook post or whatever you want to do. Just spread the word about this podcast. We're getting those numbers back up and I'm happy to see that, so... All right, with that being said, I'm going to wish you all a very good afternoon or evening or morning or whenever you're listening to this episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening.